This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths. Or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement is due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Third and 16, Mahomes rolling out, looking, firing, intercepted, picked up by Cooper DeJean, gets a block, DeJean is... Touchdown! Now the Eagles get it back. We're going to run some clock, or maybe throw the dagger. Hurts going deep for it all. Devontae Smith! He has got it! Touchdown! For the second time, the Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
I don't know about you guys today, but I'm just here for the Kendrick Lamar Drake feud, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I don't even know what the hell that is all about, to be quite honest. I just know that I woke up today and I'm hearing people. I'm driving in. I was listening to Joe and they go to Joe goes to break. I turn on Kiss 98.5 and I hear Janet and Nick talking about Drake and Kendrick Lamar. And I saw something on it last night before I went to bed, but I really have no idea what's going on with it.
Well, the whole feud started, I mean, when he released the song Not Like Us. That was
right.
That was where it all
I
came
I know
from.
That there's something going on there, but something happened last night, right? Didn't he?
There were some lyrics. He performed the song, which in itself is just him attacking.
Oh, okay.
But he also had Serena Williams there, who is involved kind of like... It's a whole, like, he said,
all right, we've
she said,
already gone to a spot yeah, where I'm, right. I'm you're losing me.
Well, Serena Williams, the tennis player.
I know
player,
that.
Right?
I know,
we're still
yeah.
in the sports realm.
See,
we're still there.
I got you.
But she was there as, like, one of the backup dancers. And she was, like, someone that was... Drake wanted to have a collaboration with her, and she didn't want anything to do with it, but he was, like, kept pursuing it. She's like, no, dude, like, go away from me.
Wow,
and
okay.
So
I'm learning this. I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a lot, but
and then did Drake tweet something or something like that last night? I don't know.
Not that I know of.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like, from what Joe said, he was halfway around the world.
Right. Yeah. He's not even around. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, whatever. We had that was the biggest drama last night. Apparently, in the whole 4 hours of the Super Bowl, the biggest drama last night that occurred through the Super Bowl was what happened at halftime between the Kendrick Lamar and his halftime performance and Drake, because there wasn't much drama in the game. That's for damn sure. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. You feeling good today? How you feeling about what happened last night? I'm guessing you're feeling pretty good. Because even though the Buffalo Bills did not make the Super Bowl, even though the Buffalo Bills aren't bringing a Lombardi home to Western New York for a parade on Wednesday, which we all would have loved, even though you were really, you know, mad and upset and angry about it a couple weeks ago and had to go through all the hurt and the frustration and the emotion of it, I think last night at least took a little sting away in some way, shape, or form for a lot of people, at least for today, right? I mean, as we go on in the offseason, of course, time heals wounds, and you're still going to look back and say, I can't believe it, you know, Bills, and you rue the whole situation, them not getting there. But, man, the Chiefs losing last night the way they did on the NFL's biggest stage like that was, A, to me, surprising. Not that the Eagles didn't have a chance like to do that. I think we heard from a lot of people who said, hey, I think that the Eagles could actually blow them out. It's just, who would have thought? Because the Chiefs just don't lose games like that. They just don't. I mean, the Chiefs, they play close games, and they generally wind up winning them. But when you play with such a small margin for error as they had all year, and then you go play a team with the kind of talent that the Eagles had, and you don't kind of make up for those little margins, then that's when things can really get away from you. And it did very quickly last night and very awfully for the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a beatdown. The score, 40-22, was not even an indication of how badly beaten the Chiefs were by the Philadelphia Eagles. By the end of the third quarter, I was looking. I think the Eagles, let's see. Let me check this real quick. I'm going to look. The Chiefs had 275 total yards of offense, 275. They had 120 in the fourth quarter. So 155 before the end of the third, that's it? At the end of the game, you look at the numbers. I mean, they had the one long pass to Worthy for the touchdown, 50-yarder. And, you know, credit to them for that as they're trying to come back. And, you know, it's the last score of the game. It's late in the game. And then that was it. The Eagles just kneel it out after that. But it was a beatdown. It reminded me of Super Bowls of when I was a kid. And every time you got to the Super Bowl, it was like big blowout. Now, some of you may remember because we've had really good Super Bowls for the most part for like the last, you know, 25 years. But in the 1980s, really up until the Bills played the Giants and lost, you know, at the end of the game when Norwood's field goal misses, up until that game, really, throughout the 1980s, most of the Super Bowls were blowouts that I remember growing up as a kid. And then we had a few here or there, but really for the last 25 years, we've had more good than bad Super Bowls. Last night was a bad Super Bowl as far as the aesthetics of the game and the scoreboard and just blowout right away. I mean, at halftime was 24-0. It was a good Super Bowl, though, for a lot of people who just wanted to see the Chiefs lose. And that's what happened. And how did they lose? Well, I think we saw last night what we saw a couple of years ago when the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers, 31-9. And in that game, the Buccaneers really just got after Patrick Mahomes. He was a little hobbled in that game, I think, but whatever. They got after him. And that was, remember, after that game, that's how you got to get to Mahomes. That's how you got to get to Mahomes. And that was after the Bills had made the AFC Championship against the Chiefs that year. And that was the talking point going in. You got to get a better pass rush. That was not the year they signed Von Miller, though. It wasn't until after the next year when the Bills lost in the championship game to the, I'm sorry, not the championship, the they lost in the AFC Divisional 13-second game. That, after that is when they signed Von Miller. But it's the same situation. And look, I'm right there with all of you. I'll say it this way. I think there's two things that need to be blended here. There's a lot of nuance that needs to be involved here. Because I'm going to relate this to the Bills, as a lot of you have. And of course, right? I mean, that's the team you love. That's the team you follow. That's the team we cover here and I talk about on a daily basis. But there's a lot of nuance here. I've seen, you know, the word, oh, it's just such an indictment on what the Bills have done. I think that's a pretty strong word. I mean, the Eagles are an all-time, I think, you know, defensive front, what they're able to do and how talented they are and how good they are. It's kind of an indictment on the rest of the league, if you want to say that way. But no doubt, the Bills are certainly not good enough there. And they haven't been. And once again, they have to find another way to do it. It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. Again, let's talk about those little margins. That's the little margins. I was thinking back to that game the Bills played 2 weeks ago in Kansas City. The Bills didn't play a good game. They didn't. Kansas City played better. The Bills got outcoached. The Bills got outplayed. But despite all that, they were still within 3 points at the end of the game. Right? I mean, despite having things not go their way, maybe a couple calls, whatever, and Josh Allen not playing well in the first half, and the defense playing poorly and not getting able to be able to get to Patrick Mahomes, they were still within 3 points of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not a solace. That's not for me to tell you, oh, yeah, everything's okay. I am going to tell you they're still a good team, and they'll continue to be good and be knocking on the door again. But it just goes to show you how dominant the Eagles were last night, and really how they've kind of been for most of this year. They're not perfect. The Eagles weren't a perfect team this year. They had a lot of drama off the field, but even on the field. You go back and take a look at the Eagles season and how it unfolded. They were really, really good all year. They did lose the Washington Commanders on a night game, 32-21. Who would have thought the Commanders were going to have the season they had and then ultimately play each other again in the NFC Championship? And then towards the end of the year, they lost a couple of games, one to the Cowboys, one to the Saints. And I have to remember here, was Hurts even playing one of those games either way? They weren't perfect, but they were damn good all year. I mean, they beat the Lions, the Vikings, the Commanders, Packers, Steelers, what, Texans? Playoff teams here, and give them a lot of credit. They deserve to win last night, but there is certainly still, to get back to what I was saying about the Bills and relating it, there is certainly still a perspective here of you have to get better up front to get pressure on the quarterback like a team like the Eagles were able to do. I don't know if you can attain that level, though. Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal. I don't know if you can get to where they were. They were destroying Patrick Mahomes last night. There was a sequence in the game, and I tweeted about this last night during the game. There was a sequence during the game that Mahomes, on two straight plays, was sacked. This was, I think, in the second quarter. Two straight plays, he was sacked. So know what they did on third down? They got him to roll out. They said, well, we can't keep him in the pocket. He's going to get sacked. We just can't. We cannot block these guys. So they moved the pocket on third down. You know what happened on that play? Because they had to move the pocket and he rushed a throw. They had good coverage. Pick six the other way. So because of the two sacks, it forced them to do something different on offense. Turns into an even worse result for them. So they get the ball after the next kickoff. They don't even want to throw the ball. First down, run. Second down, run. Now you're in third and long. And because it's third and long, here come the Eagles pinning their ears back, another sack. It was just compounding and piling up the pressure. It really forced the Chiefs to completely play a way different game than they wanted to play. And that's not Vic Fangio's scheme. Some of it is, of course, he's a coach. He deserves some credit. They have some dudes, man. They have dudes. They have talent. They have players. I know. You want the Bills to have those. Every team in the league wants that. Every team. 31 other teams are going today. How do we get that? How do we have what the Eagles have? You also have to be careful, though. Here's the nuance. Of being prisoners of the moment. Yes, it's great what they have. And it's not the entire team. They do a lot of things well. And you have certain restrictions all over the place on how you can go about acquiring those players and getting them. I say, though, you do what you can this year to go out and get a Myles Garrett, get a Max Crosby if he's available, whatever. I mean, Josh Sweat, who dominated last night with 2.5 sacks, I tweeted at one point, Josh Sweat's going to be a free agent next month, which he is. And then by the end of the game, I'm like, yeah, he's going to be way too pricey. Yes, he's very, very, very good player. But I don't think the money he's going to get on the open market might be, like, to me, overpaying now. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Because now, because of his performance last night, teams are like, we want that. We'll pay whatever it takes to get it. And maybe that's the Bills. They say, I don't care. I got to pay him. But after last night's performance, he'll probably have a market value that's even way higher than even I would want to go for a guy like that, who has had 33 sacks over the last 4 years, 25.5 sacks over the last 3 years. He had 8 this year. He had 11 a couple years ago. It's a nice player. Probably a little bit better of a pass rusher than Greg Rousseau. but and you're getting more out of that same kind of body, but not like, oh my God, you have to pay him whatever he can command. That's being a prisoner of the moment. Don't do that either. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw yesterday, what you thought about the game, whatever is on your mind about it. Going to get some perspective today from a couple of different football minds that cover a couple other teams, but also are dialed in on the NFL draft. Going to have Evan Lazar join the program at 10:30. We've had Evan on a lot. He covers the New England Patriots. He also covers the NFL draft, patriots.com, Catch 22, Patriots Catch 22 pod. Really great at what he does. Get his thoughts on last night, but also because the Bills are reportedly hiring Mike Pellegrino, who has been with the Patriots for the last 10 seasons. And he's been their cornerbacks coach. I don't know exactly what he'll do with the Bills, probably nickel coach, because the Bills had Scott Booker depart for, ironically, the Patriots. So be like kind of trading coaches. It might be an indication, another one that we've seen here, that the Bills may be moving towards a different type of philosophy and scheme on defense, meaning maybe a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more man-to-man, something a lot of you have wanted to see. We actually saw more of that this year from the Bills. But Evan Lazar is going to join us at 10:30, going to get his thoughts on the draft as well. And then John Ledyard, who does a great job covering the draft, has for many years. Now you can always listen to John, of course, with Tampa Bay Trey. They are on the Audibles and Analytics pod, and he's all over the draft. Covers the Bucks, also the Steelers. He grew up in Pittsburgh, still follows them very closely, talks about them a lot. But we'll get thoughts on a lot of things from both those guys. 10:30 is Evan Lazar. 11 a.m. is John Ledyard. My apologies. I'm just getting over being sick. I had a bad weekend. But that's okay. Made it better last night. I'm sure a lot of you have been there this week. I've heard it from a lot of people. Kind of ran through the house last week. It was the kid, then it was me, then it was the wife. I'm just getting out of it. Now, you ever had that, like, where you feel really good? You're like, I just got to get over the finish line. So that's today. So help me out today. You can give me a call at 803-0550, looking for your thoughts on this game. And if you want it, how it relates to the Bills or whatever, we can do that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today on a Monday. We can call it a, Buffalo Football Monday, a Super Bowl post Monday, a feeling really good the Chiefs lost Monday, whatever it is for you. Let's get out to the phone lines. Michael in Atlanta is first up. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. Hey, hope you feel better. Real quick, I'll get to my football stuff. So back in July, I started doing chopped garlic, one clove, chopped garlic every day, let it sit for 8 to 12 minutes, drink it down with some water. Man, my wife's been sick 3 times, my daughter 4 times, and I've gotten nothing in this household.
Wow. You got the remedies, buddy. You got the rememies. There you go. I'm feeling better today. Luckily, it hit a weekend where we didn't have as much going on, so I was able to rest a little bit more this weekend than normal. But, you know, it's that whole thing, like you think you're over the hump, and then you still got a little bit. It just kind of sucks.
And I'm telling you, man, check out that raw garlic and even University of Rochester did a study.
It'll also keep the vampires away, I hear, Mike.
Exactly, and your friends.
All right, buddy.
Hey, so real quick, on the Bills game from 2 weeks ago, I know I mentioned it, and I agree. I've agreed all year long they needed help on defense. I was worried about, you know, the lack of that extra one or two pieces that they need. And again, they performed at that super high level, and that's why Josh got that MVP, you know, because they did so much with what little they had on offense and defense, but especially on offense, not having the pieces. But anyhow, I still think 2 weeks ago, though I'm not going to excuse, I still think they played two teams. I still think they played the Chiefs and the Steelers on the same day. You know what I mean by that. But getting back to what happened yesterday, I feel great. I thought I was a nice guy, but it just felt so good to see the Chiefs lose and all those sour pusses on the sideline with their hanging their heads. I loved watching that. So I wanted to add that. But I do think that they get that that guy on defense, a little help, one or two extra big body strong guys on the defensive line, it's not so much they need to revamp the whole defensive line, but I think even one guy elevates everybody else because you can't double team everybody. So you have one more guy, you know, and I'm sure hope it's Myles Garrett. That'd be great, or Cosby. But either way, just that one guy changes a lot of dynamics. I wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could definitely, I agree with that. I mean, the Bills' philosophy over the years has been kind of, you know, have its 111th, right? Everybody does their job, and you don't have to have that guy. But they've tried, and they went out and got Von Miller, which I still say to people, like, Von Miller, you have to understand the nuance, again, of why they did it when they did it. Did they overpay? If you want to say that because of the future part of the contract, for sure. Like, we knew that 3 years in, $20 million a year was going to be too much for his age. But you brought him in to help you win a Lombardi over the first couple years he was there. And, man, he was unbelievable until he got hurt in Detroit. And they were paying a lot of money. And now they're paying for that. And he was still pretty good this year. Not $20 million good, but he was still pretty good. But they took a swing. I respect that. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. You want them to do that now, right? I mean, you can't have it both ways. If you want them to take a swing, it's going to cost you a lot, whether it's assets or money. But it's you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And I think you have to do something like that because that one guy, and they kind of changed that philosophy of that one guy could be your game record that everybody has to focus on, as you're saying, Mike. And then it elevates everybody else, hopefully. Let's go to CJ in Buffalo. Hi, CJ.
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good.
Good. Hey, real quick, I don't even know if it's possible, but after watching the game last night, I came up with a thought. What would it be like to not sell the farm? I'm not saying bleep them picks, but go all in for a known commodity in Myles Garrett. It would give up some draft picks. I know what it costs. But also add Khalil Mack out of free agency and release Von Miller, who I think is $16 to $17 million, that relieves us from the cap, gives us a little moving room. I just want to know what you thought about that, if possible.
Well, I think the mechanics of all that would be really tough, first of all. I don't know how much Khalil Mack is going to cost at his age, though. I mean, you're already – he's what, 33, I think? And people were upset when the Bills, you know, got Von Miller at that age, essentially. But either way, let's just say, okay, hold on. I do want to look at this. Dead money. To do that with Von, by the way, it might have to be a post-June 1 cut. That's your saving now, $17 million, as you said. That's post-June 1. You don't even get that money freed up until June 1st if you do that. So that's very tough to do. So the mechanics of it, if you release Von Miller before June 1st, you're taking on $15 million in dead money, CJ, and you are giving yourself $8.3 million in cap relief. That's fine. The mechanics of that might be a little difficult, but sure. I mean, and then the other part of it is, you know, the assets you're giving up for Myles Garrett, I mean, I don't care at this point. Go do what you got to do, right? I mean, I'm with you there. I think, though, it's a little too much to ask what you're saying because I don't know what Khalil Mack's going to command either because Myles Garrett, you know, he'll cost a little money too, and eventually you're going to have to pay him. We'll see, you know, what approach they take. I'm not sure. I love the fact of adding two guys, though, CJ, I do, whoever that is. Let's go to Nikki in Connecticut. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm a lifelong Bills fan. And thank you for taking my call, by the way. Sorry.
Yep.
I'm a lifelong Bills fan. And admittedly, you know, after Kansas City, you know, took that game and, you know, everybody can feel different about it. Personally, I feel like we got hold, but it is what it is. I wasn't going to watch the game last night. You know, my wife talked me into it. She said, man, you love football. Think about the sport as a whole, you know, instead of just the teams and just enjoy it. So I say, you know what, fine. You know, I take her advice. And I don't regret it. I was so happy I watched the game. I feel like, personally, for myself as a fan and watching these games, I feel like it was just poetic justice. I would have felt even better if they would have been left on zero and a 50-burger would have been left on them, if you ask me, you know. But taking away the fan perspective and going into the nitty-gritty of the game, one thing I will say is there's a lot that I think the Bills can take from this game and look at how Philly played Kansas City, but just play the game as a whole. I mean, the fact that they didn't even blitz one time to have that much pressure from the corner rushers, and it was just amazing. Like, the defense, I feel like I love our offense. I think we can match anybody any given day, any given Sunday. But the way that defense held it, I think there's a lot we can learn from that. And it's hard for me to say that because, you know, we look at Sean McDermott as a defensive coach, but, you know, we got to call a spade sometimes. So I hope they take last night's game. Maybe they look at some video and they say, maybe this is what we need to sign. Maybe this is what we need to draft. I mean, is it that who's that person that's calling out of Cleveland? Maybe we get him.
Yeah, Myles Garrett. Listen. Good points, Nikki. I mean, you got to have the players, though, to do that in order to get home. And I think that's the point here where, yeah, you can – I mean, it is a defensive coordinator's dream to be able to get home with four like that last night. They didn't even blitz, and they did, because they dominated their offensive line. By the way, good tweet from our buddy Joe Marino, which I retweeted here. And this goes on the heels of all of this talk about, oh my God, Brett Veach, Kansas City, they're unbelievable drafting. They know, my God, Hall of Fame drafters here, right? And I've said for the last few weeks, like, they have a lot of misses too. Kansas City has a lot of misses. The difference is some of their hits have been really good hits, right? Trent McDuffie's been amazing, and they traded up for him and got him right before Kyrie Elam, and that's been great. Worthy was terrific last night. I still don't think Worthy is this undeniable, oh my God, great draft pick. He had 500 yards receiving this year, and it didn't go great all year until, you know, down the stretch, which seems like it's working a little bit more. But yeah, Creed Humphrey, really, really nice player inside. They've had a lot of really nice picks. Karlaftis, no doubt, no doubt. They've also had a lot of misses, and I pointed them out. Sky Moore and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and last year's first-round pick, his name escapes me right now. But Joe Marino just posted this morning on Twitter, and he's right. He said, if you can't see how Chiefs GM Brett Veach's miscalculations at offensive tackle, edge rusher, and corner got exposed last night, I don't know what to tell you. He's a great GM, but the flawless portrayal of him has been ridiculous over the last few weeks. I agree, Joe. Prisoners of the moment. These guys, these couple players are better than the guys I got, so that means that their GM and coach are so much better, right? That's what we do sometimes. Howie Roseman has put together an unbelievable roster with the Eagles, what they have. And that's with a Jalen Hurts quarterback he's not elite, right? He's not in the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow category. He's damn good. But he's Super Bowl MVP now. Anyway, good tweet from Joe there. We'll take a timeout. Evan Lazar up next from Patriots.com, Catch-22 podcast. We'll talk about the Bills' new reported hire, Mike Pellegrino, at corner. Does that mean the Bills might start shifting a little bit towards man-to-man? What is his pedigree? And we'll talk a little NFL draft with Evan Lazar up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Four-man rush. Pressure again. Mahomes in trouble. Mahomes sacked again. Third of the day for Philadelphia.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
3 of 6 right there for the Eagles. How about this stat I just ran across? According to Next Gen Stats, Eagles did not blitz one time in 42 dropbacks. That is just the fourth defense to not blitz in a game at all. I think any game in the Next Gen Stats era. Amazing how they were able to get to Patrick Mahomes. Welcome back. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with here. Here with you on a Buffalo football Monday, a happy Monday here that the Chiefs lost, but we're going to go out to the Western Hotline and talk with our guy, Evan Lazar. We've talked to Evan plenty over the years about the New England Patriots, and we'll get to them as well. Want to get his thoughts, though, on the Super Bowl last night and also on the upcoming NFL draft. Good morning, buddy. Thanks for joining me as usual.
Anytime, Sal. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Let me ask you, we're very happy here in Buffalo, like the fan base. Okay, Patriots, Chiefs get crushed on the national stage. Is the feeling the same from a previous dynasty who's watching this dynasty rise that happened last night?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody was trying to give the Chiefs their flowers a little bit and trying to be unbiased about it. And then once the game started, at least for me, myself, once the game started, I realized how much I was kind of pulling for the Eagles, as this sort of unfolded. And, it's a feather in the Patriots cap that they went to 9 Super Bowls and they were in 1-score games in all 9 of them, right? Like they were never blown out of a Super Bowl and they never had a dud like that on the biggest stage like the Chiefs did. So it's going to be even tougher now to pass Tom Brady and Bill Belichick if you're Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And when you watched last night, how surprised were you how it unfolded, Evan?
I was surprised because of just the lack of preparation and answers it seemed like the Chiefs had on offense for Vic Fangio and that Eagles defense. You think of Andy Reid as this wizard of an offensive mind and to just completely have zero answers whatsoever. It was surprising, but at the same time, when you looked at the matchup on paper, you know, the Chiefs' offensive line against the Eagles' defensive line was a huge mismatch in Philly's favor. And I think all of us are coming out of this game now saying to ourselves, if you can't win in the trenches, if you can't pass protect and you can't rush the passer on the other side, it's going to be a tough time to win a Super Bowl like that. So I think that's the number one takeaway for everybody right now is the trenches rule. They still do.
No doubt about it. Evan Lazar joined me here on the West Her Hotline. All right, so let's shift gears and talk about the team that you cover mostly, the New England Patriots, and obviously a new regime coming in, Mike Vrabel. And is that something of a priority with them as well? There was some scuttlebutt that maybe they're interested in T.J. Watt. I don't know how real that was about a few weeks ago. I've seen that. Is that something that they need to do is upgrade their pass rush, and how do they go about doing that?
Oh, absolutely. That to me, their pass rush and their pass protection, those were – some of the early words out of Vrabel's mouth in his introductory press conference is that they need to protect their quarterback and they need to, I think the word he used is alter the opposing team's quarterback or affect the opposing team's quarterback. So either way, you know, you look at it, the Patriots last year, last in the league in sacks, 30th in pressure rate, dead last in pass block win rate on the other side of the ball. They lost in the trenches significantly over the last 2 years. They're the worst team in the league in pass protection, according to ESPN's win rate stats. So that's where it starts for the Patriots. I know a lot of people around here are clamoring for that number one wide receiver to pair him with Drake May, whether it's T. Higgins or drafting Travis Hunter or whatever the case may be. But I do think the focus for Vrabel and for the personnel side of things right now is going to be on the offensive and defensive line.
Before I get to those players and how they go about that, what about the coaching staff that he's putting together? Some interesting hires. I know I've read some of your colleagues talking about and wondering where the fits are specifically and how this is all going to mesh. What are we looking at? What do the Patriots schematically look like and coaching-wise in 2025?
Well, defensively, I do think they're going to be a little bit different and more Tennessee Titans, if you will, on that side of the ball. Basically, all the coaches that Vrabel put together on the defensive side are with him in Tennessee. So they look like they're going to run what they were doing with the Titans down in Nashville. So you might see a little bit more zone coverage from the Patriots. You might see a little bit more four down. You know, Belichick has notoriously been a 3-4 defense type of guy going all the way back to his days with the Giants. So that could be a little bit different for the Patriots this time around. And offensively, there's an excitement level, a comfort level, certainly with Josh McDaniels. But I think the number one question that people have is, you know, how much is McDaniels going to evolve this system to fit Drake May versus having stationary pocket passers like Mac Jones and Tom Brady and Derek Carr in the last, you know, handful of years? So it's a big question mark with McDaniels. There's obviously a comfort and experience level that Vrabel's talked about that is good with a young quarterback, but that system is going to have to be tweaked to fit a different skill set this time around.
And then as far as acquiring that talent, they do have the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. Is there a favorite idea amongst Patriots fans on how they should approach that?
Well, it would be nice to trade down, but I think everybody right in this draft wants to trade down. And it really comes down to who you know, likes these quarterbacks and how do you prioritize that. You know, just a quick example, if the Jets call at 4, you know, and want to come up to get one of the quarterbacks, are the Patriots going to hand a quarterback to the Jets? You know, I don't know, right? I don't know if they would do that sort of thing. So that's number one, I think, for a lot of people, myself included, just because of the amount of holes that they do have on their rosters, that trading down would be ideal. But if not, then I do expect them to go offensive or defensive line, whether that's Will Campbell from LSU or Mason Graham from Michigan, or if Abdul Carter is still there, the pass rusher from Penn State. You know, one of those guys is really enticing for all the reasons that we just talked about with the Super Bowl. That's the way that the game is won and lost, it seems like, more times than not. And the Patriots are way, way behind in terms of talent on the defensive line and offensive line.
Would the Patriots want to get involved in a Myles Garrett type of trade with the assets that it would cost?
I don't necessarily see that one coming to fruition. I think that they're going to look at players that have a certain window here to line it up with Drake May. And Myles Garrett at 29, 30 years old, I just don't know if that necessarily fits their timeline right now. Now, if somebody like Micah Parsons were to come available at 25 years old, then certainly that would be something I think they would be very interested in. And I'm not saying that they won't make calls on Myles Garrett, because I'm sure that they will. But just him putting out a statement that he wants to go to a contender, their window and what they're looking at in terms of their rebuild, it just doesn't seem like for player and for team that one in particular lines up.
Yeah, I mean, we're all about it here in Buffalo, just so you know, Evan, as you can imagine. I mean, where the Bills are right now and their build, and, you know, they're knocking on the door, and you see that they're just maybe that particular player or position away. And I don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but everybody here in Buffalo is, oh, my God, go get Myles Garrett. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I was the Bills, that's exactly the type of move I would try to make. I'm sure if the Patriots of 10 years ago had an option of going after a guy like Myles Garrett, they'd be all over it. It's just a different timeline right now, and you have to be realistic. And I think for him, I highly doubt the Patriots would be very high on Myles Garrett's list, given that the Browns are picking, what, 2, and the Patriots are at 4.
Yeah.
Or 3 and 4, whatever it is. It seems like that would deter him. And I think a lot of these veteran guys, it's going to be a number one topic, I'm sure, around here, Sal, with the Patriots, is how do you attract a lot of these free agents or big name veterans in the trade market? You know, can you get a T. Higgins to come here? Could you get a DK Metcalf to come here? Could you get a Myles Garrett to come here? It's a tough one. Vrabel's, I think, a little bit more of a sell. Drake May's a little bit more of a sell than where they were last year, but they're still a 4-win football team that's got a long way to go.
It has not yet been confirmed or by the Bills or anyone on our side, but I will say there's a report from Matt Zenitz, who writes for CBS Sports and 247 Sports, that cornerbacks coach of the Patriots for the last 10 years, Mike Pellegrino, will be joining the Bills. Now, this is on the heels of reports that Scott Booker, the Bills' nickel coach, is going to join the Patriots. He was on Vrabel's staff in Tennessee, so that makes sense that that would happen. And if the Bills do bring over, it's a kind of a coach trade for trade, I guess, a coach for coach trade here. But it is making us wonder here, because of what you said about maybe more zone defense coming from Vrabel. Is Pellegrino more versed in the man-to-man system? What has been the Patriots' MO over the last 10 years, and what can you tell us about Mike Pellegrino if this is indeed true?
Yeah, first off, with Pellegrino, it's a great person and a great coach. I think you guys got a really good one there. And we've had the pleasure of talking to him plenty over the years and media availabilities and things like that. And he's a player's coach. He's for his guys. He's very, very detailed. He's a very smart guy. Went to Johns Hopkins University, played lacrosse down there. That's how he first got on Bill Belichick's radar,
of course,
football crossover there. So he played lax, and then Belichick, met up with him and became a coaching assistant for the Patriots. And then Josh Boyer, who was the Patriots cornerbacks coach through a couple of Super Bowls, he ended up going with Brian Flores to Miami to be the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins when Flores became the head coach there. And Mike Pellegrino was then elevated to cornerbacks coach and took it from there. Defensive player of the year campaign for Stephon Gilmore under Pellegrino. Really good developer corners, J.C. Jackson, Christian Gonzalez has obviously flourished when he's on the field with Mike Pellegrino over the last couple of years. So a lot of Patriots fans were hoping that they were going to keep Pellegrino on Vrabel's staff. Vrabel's decided to go with his guys. You mentioned Booker and Hamilton, a couple other guys that were with him in Tennessee instead. But I know there was a lot of people that really supported Pellegrino staying here with the Patriots because of the work that he's done. It's not just those top guys. I mean, he's done a really nice job of getting guys onboarded and developing those guys that are UDFAs or late round draft picks like a J.C. Jackson.
I know that, Bill Belichick did morph his systems over the years, but has it been primarily more of a man or a zone? Could you point to one or the other? And the reason I ask is, after what the Bills did this year, and again, Sean McDermott has had a tried and true system for him that's been a very heavy zone defense, but we saw maybe a little shift towards the back end of this year, a little bit more man-to-man. We see what these other teams are doing, and we're starting to wonder, maybe the Bills are going to go a little bit more man-to-man. What have the Patriots primarily run over the last 10 years?
Yeah, definitely man-to-man defense for about at least a half decade, I would say. Belichick was always so scheme specific based off of personnel, but when he had that number one corner, that Darrell Revis, that Stephon Gilmore, now Christian Gonzalez last year, like when he had that number one guy, he was a defense that would want to play a lot of man-to-man. So they've been one of the more man coverage heavy defenses in the NFL for the last half a decade. Going back to really getting Gilmore in 2017. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, he's got a great feel for man-to-man with Pellegrino. I don't think it's the only thing he can coach. I think he is a versatile coach. But if you want to run more man-to-man coverage and you want to take some of that Belichick stuff, you know, divider rules and leverage and all that kind of thing, helping the middle of the field with the post safety and the robber and all the good things the Patriots have done with their man-to-man coverages, then Pellegrino can definitely coach that up and get guys up to speed. I think one of the best things that the Patriots man coverage system in the past in Belichick's world that they've been able to do is simplify things for corners. So it doesn't feel like you're completely on an island out there with the receiver who can run anywhere he wants. You know, they do a really nice job of funneling to help and providing help and doing that sort of thing. And then obviously they have their different doubles and brackets and things like that too when they do play, you know, a Justin Jefferson or somebody of that ilk. So they have a lot of answers in man coverage, and they've done a really nice job with it over the years. And it just seems like guys are calm, they're patient, they don't really seem overly exposed when they play man-to-man a lot. So they do a lot of good things.
Evan Lazar, before I let you go, are the Bruins going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline?
Oh, man, I think they're going to probably stay pat right now because I don't know who's going to be in charge of the Bruins next season. And I wonder if ownership is going to, you know, not want them to do anything drastic, you know, one way or the other, because I do think that, you know, the interim coach, I doubt will stay long term. And I don't know if Don Sweeney is staying long term either. So would you want the guy, you know, lame duck running your deadline? Probably not. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of fans are very sour on Sweeney. There was a Fire Sweeney chant going on, I think, at the Garden, I think, a couple weeks ago, wasn't there?
I might have started it, no.
I love it. I love it. Great job, buddy. Hey, are you going to be at the Combine in Indy?
Yes, I will.
All right,
yes, will.
I'll see you there. We'll catch up then. We'll talk a little draft, okay, bud?
Absolutely, Sal. Anytime.
All right, you got it. That is Evan Lazar. You can catch him at EZ Lazar on Twitter /X. And of course, he is the Patriots Catch 22 at patriots.com. Check him out. Does really good work. Patriots offseason, the draft, and of course, some thoughts right there on the Super Bowl. We'll get John Ledyard. Same thing. Thoughts on the Super Bowl. Also, John is very heavy into the draft. We'll talk with him about some of the D linemen that might be available. He's been pouring over for the Buffalo Bills, defensive tackles, defensive ends, pass rushers. We'll do that. And some other thoughts at 11 a.m. here. We'll take a timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, a couple of reports coming out in the NFL over the weekend as well. Aaron Rodgers not going back to the Jets. I don't think this is like a huge surprise, but apparently what happened? He flew out to New Jersey and they met with him, right? Is that it, Josh? He flew out and they're like, hey, by the way, thanks for coming. You can go back now because we don't want you anymore, right?
That's such a, like, if they really want to like get back at him or whatever, that's kind of the way to do it.
Well, I mean, hey, yeah. It's the guy that's all about all the drama and me, right? Hey, we're going to. You
give
have
him
some drama. We'll
give
some drama.
His own medicine.
Right, exactly. It sounds like that is the case in some regard. What do the Jets do now? Do they go out into the quarterback market? I mean, I can't imagine a guy like Sam Darnold going back to the Jets, right? Could you imagine that? I can't imagine.
I mean,
that.
It is a completely new regime, so
it is. But man, that would be wild.
He should do it. He should do it just because. Like that'd be so funny. I think
there's a lot of smoke right now about Darnold to the Raiders. Actually, interesting, right? What do you think?
It's not bad. It's better than what they have, but it's probably the best option for him right now, too, unless they draft the guy.
And then Deebo Samuel apparently wants out of San Francisco. I mean, I was all about Deebo a couple years ago. Not as much anymore. I mean, you know, he's kind of a little bit more broken down now. Let me see his last couple years. He's just not the same player that he was. The way he plays, right? I mean, he's a terror with the ball in his hands. And the way he plays, he's kind of gotten beaten up over the last couple of years. You know what? He did play 15 games last couple of years. All right. I mean, 51 catches, 670 yards. Still a decent player, good player. I mean, it's not like it was a couple of years ago coming off a 1,400-yard season, though. Holy cow. Remember that?
It's also the last year of his deal.
Yeah, and I mean, 136 yards rushing this year. Yeah, 3.2 yards. If you look at, you know, they give him the ball in these situations, less than 4 yards a carry in those situations as well. But anyway, not a good player. But I don't know what he has left in the tank, but that was interesting coming out as well. John Ledyard going to join me next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can still give us a call. It's Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. John joins me next to talk Super Bowl, NFL Draft, and we'll sprinkle in a little Bucks and Steelers offseason as well, since he follows both those teams.